So I was just pondering and thinking upon David and how the Lord said that he was the man after his own heart. And so I was just reading through a little bit about David and what made him that. And I just wanted to touch on a couple things. 1 Samuel 13 is when Saul made his sacrifice. And he didn't wait for Samuel to come, and he did it in disobedience, and he did it against God's command. And then the Lord said in verse 14, in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, but talking to Saul, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." So his desire is to have someone after his own heart as commander over his people, or as shepherd over his people. And that's his desire for each and every one of us, is to have a heart after him. And when there's disobedience in our life, or when we persistently walk in our own ways, we cannot shepherd his people. We cannot lead others to follow him, because we just lead others into that ditch. And so Saul had to be removed. There's pride there. He wanted to be honored in front of the people even after he'd sinned, when he didn't destroy all the Amalekites and all the things. He still wanted to be honored, but the Lord had someone else. And when Samuel was mourning and grieving that, you know, about Saul, the Lord said in 1 Samuel 16, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and stay. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elder of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably I have come to the sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And I think that's something that we can all do, is look outwardly and make judgments. And our judgments can be wrong. And Samuel, even a man of God, looked, but it wasn't the Lord. He heard from the Lord very clearly many times. This time he just looked with his eyes. He didn't listen. And he said, "This man looks strong. This man looks handsome," whatever it was. "This has got to be the next king of Israel." And the Lord said, "No, it's not." Because the Lord looks at the heart. And the Lord saw something in David's heart that pleased him. And that's what was pleasing to God, and what allowed David to be the next king. So Jesse called all the sons then, one by one, and the Lord refused all of them. And then he said, in verse 11, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for he will not sit down till he comes here." So that's the first thing we hear of David, other than the fact that he's going to have a man after God's own, he's going to have a heart after God, is that he is keeping the sheep. And so there was a feast going on, and there was going to be a feast going on, and the prophet was there. All the brothers are there. I'm not sure whether David heard about it or if he got the invitation. Maybe his dad thought he was too young and just, or maybe he did hear about it, and but he had to keep the sheep. I'm not sure about that. But I know he was keeping the sheep and he was faithful. And I wonder about his love for the sheep. We know that he loved the sheep. And those sheep were not really his sheep. They were his dad's sheep. But he loved them as his own sheep. You know, I grew up on a farm and I had chickens. And I didn't have a fondness for chickens. But when my dad told me to do something in the barns or do whatever, I didn't take the same care as David did towards his father's sheep, because I had more concern for myself than I did for the chickens. And so I did the bare minimum so I could get back to the house and do my own thing. And even when I was just a hired man, and I made my wages, but I didn't work as unto the Lord. I worked for myself, and I had no love for the chickens. And I can't imagine loving an animal the way that David loved the sheep. But the Lord saw something, that if he loves sheep like that, how much is he going to love my people? You know, how much is he going to love my people? If he risked his life for these sheep because he loved his dad and he had love for the sheep, he took care of them as his own, even though he was a young boy. I mean, I can't say that for myself, taking care of those birds. And it says here that Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him here, for we will not sit down till he comes." So he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy with bright eyes, good looking, and the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. It seemed as he was faithful with the sheep before he got the anointing of the oil, you know. He was faithful there. And then later on in verse, a distressing spirit from the Lord was tormenting Saul. And he called for someone to play for him. And then a servant said, I hear about this guy. In verse 18 it says, "One of the servants answered and said, 'Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. And the Lord is with him.'" You know, we don't hear about David having that reputation about being a man of war already. But he already, obviously, that was the reputation that he had. He was a mighty man of valor, even as a young man. And he was skillful in playing. And then it says, "Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, 'Send me your son David, who is with the sheep.'" That was the other thing he had. He had a reputation that he was the young man that took care of the sheep. And it doesn't seem like something very esteeming to be the one out in the field taking care of sheep while everyone's doing other things. But that was where he met with God. That was where he probably learned to play his instruments, as he was praising the Lord and watching over the sheep. And God was able to prepare his heart and teach him. And then later on, I mean, we hear of what he did when this big giant came and threatened the people, and all the Israelites had fear and were trembling because of this man Goliath. And the father sent David to go and bring provisions for his brothers. And when he came, his brothers were immediately jealous. And it's interesting what it says here. It says, "The Lord sent to Samuel about Eliab." When Samuel saw him, this is the man, right? This is the king I see with my eyes. And don't look at his appearance. So the Lord, it says, has refused him. The Lord has refused him. And look at Eliab's heart here. when David comes with the provisions, obeying his father, and he left his sheep with a keeper. He didn't abandon his sheep. The sheep were left to the keeper. I'm sure he chose one that would have taken care of the sheep like he would have. And he says in verse 28, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, why do you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence or the arrogance of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. The Lord has refused that man. One who judges, one who's able to, I mean, he's able to point the finger, but not in an accuracy. I know your pride. So someone who can just see, you've got pride, you've got, everyone's got pride. Pointing the finger. Making judgments in error. The Lord, his heart is manifested now. Why he was refused. Because that man had pride. And that man didn't have love for his brother. He did not have love for his brother. And then David, later on, he said to Saul, basically, what's this guy, what's this giant doing? We can't let him run over these people. We can't let him disgrace God's name. And he told him about how he had taken care of the sheep and what God did. Not what he did, but what God did. And it says in verse 34, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. David knew that the Lord had delivered him. It wasn't his own hand. And so he had a humble heart in saying, even though, I mean, if I killed a lion and killed a bear with my bare hands, there would be a lot of temptation to want to boast in saying that, look what I've done. I mean, I don't know of anyone else except David that has killed a lion with his bare hands and wrestled it and pulled the sheep out. And, you know, as much as I'd want to give glory to the Lord, I'd want to take a little bit for myself. But David knew it was the Lord who delivered him. And he wasn't saying this to David, to Saul, to be proud and to boast and look what I've done. Because you can't be proud in a time when there's a 9-foot giant coming and you're a small boy. I mean, he trusted in the Lord. And he knew and he had faith that God was able to deliver him from the giant. That's the kind of faith he wanted from Israel when they spied out the land, and he said, go in and possess the land. The Lord said, go in and possess it, and I will go before you. And the spies, you know, gave the bad, 10 gave the bad report to Caleb and Joshua, gave good reports. But they feared the giants. They didn't believe, even though, you know, God had met them and dealt with them and delivered them from the Egyptians and throughout all of Israel didn't, or the desert didn't let their sandals wear out and provided them with manna every morning. Even though they saw that, they still didn't believe. But David believed that the Lord was able to deliver him because he saw that he had delivered him and he was going to deliver him from the Philistine. And so he went. And what he said was, you know, the Philistine came there with some stones and you know, the Philistine mocked him and said, you come, and David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. That's what he brought. So he knew it wasn't really those stones and those the sling that was going to deliver him, but it was the God of Israel. And that's how he came, in the name of the Lord his God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And when we come in the name of the Lord, their enemies, right, powers of darkness, the flesh, whatever, they can't have dominion over us, can't prevail over us when we come in the name of the Lord God. When we come with our own weapons, saying, okay, I'm David, I'm just going to use a humble weapon here, my stones and my sling, and come with that kind of false humility, but yet we think it's our own arm that saves us, then we will surely fall. But when we come in the name of the Lord, then the Lord will take what's foolish, small stone, and cause a giant to fall. And it says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give you the carcass. I'll give the carcass of the camp of Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. The battle is the Lord's. So David had faith. He gave the glory to God. Didn't take it for himself. And that's, you know, Saul didn't have that heart. Saul had let pride come in. You know, it said when he was little in his own eyes, he was ruler over the camp of Israel. But he let the pride come in, and he started getting bigger and bigger in his own eyes. But this is some of what I saw as I was reading some of David's heart, which he desires for us. It's that to be faithful in the little things, to be faithful and thankful and praising the Lord, doing, you know, taking care of those few sheep, as his brother said, you know, where did you leave those few sheep? Those few sheep were, he loved. And he, when the lion and the bear came, he didn't just run like a hired man that had no love for the sheep and was taking care of his own skin. He laid down his life, in a sense. I mean, he could have died, but in the lion and the bear, obviously more strong than a human being can destroy. But supernaturally, God gave him strength, and he was able to stand. And so in Acts 13... It says in verse 21, Acts 13, verse 21. And afterward they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So that's what we need. A heart that will do all his will. And that's the kind of man he's looking for, and that's the kind of man he found in David. He removed Saul and found David. Even though David stumbled, we know, and he was an old covenant man, and so, I mean, he had some major backslidings or stumblings there that we read about, but we also know that he repented. And so to have the heart of God is when you see that you've fallen or you stumbled, that really breaks you up, that you rend your heart. You don't just rend your garments. And you are grieved over that. You've hurt the heart of God. And then he picks you up, right? If we stumble, we have an advocate. And then when we hear his voice, we do his will. And it's in our heart to always do his will, not our own will. And that's how we can have the heart of God, is to do his will continually, day after day. As we hear it and as we know what it is, we abide in it, we walk in it, and we do it. And a big part of that is keeping our tongue from speaking evil. That's a huge part of doing his will, is keeping this little member from sin. This little member does great damage. It's a small spark that can set a whole forest on fire and destroy cities and whatever. It's fire, and it can destroy. David knew that, and in Psalm 34, he says, he knew about fearing God, and he says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no lack to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned." So, I mean, he learned that through many trials and running from Saul for quite a while. But that was one thing he wanted to teach his children. He wanted them to learn the fear of the Lord. And it says, "I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And it says, "Who is the man who desires life and loves many days? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So that's something that we can practically walk out, and every day there's opportunity to speak something that's in the flesh, and that's something we need to guard very carefully. I need to guard, and that's one way we can learn the fear of the Lord, is to, when we hear the conviction of the Spirit about something that we want to say, you know, often, sometimes we say things that just comes out, and oh, you didn't even have a chance to. It seemed like it came before you could even think, and then you got to repent. And there's other times it hits here and hits here first, and you have a split second. So my prayer is that it will, you know, first I'll have a chance to hold it back. And then the Lord will cause me to grow so that even those thoughts won't even come, right? As we grow, I can hold. First I'll be able to hold my tongue from the things my flesh want to speak. But then I can pray, "Lord, change it so I don't even have those thoughts. I don't even want those types of things to even come close to my lips." And Jesus changed me, and he's able to do that, right? Just simple faith, small stone, small thing for him to tame the tongue. You know, for with man it's impossible. Who can tame a lion or a bear? But I know that in God's power we can destroy those lions and bears and save the sheep. Because those are the kind of things that will destroy the sheep.
When Jason was reading that, I was, the part where it says in the NASB, it says that David's eyes were beautiful. And it just reminded me of having a single eye. I was encouraged by that. Or I think it said in yours that his eyes are bright. And just reminds me of having our eyes, a single eye for Jesus. I was reading a couple passages this morning, but I wanted to read one that Darren had touched on, I think, on Wednesday night, in Romans chapter 8. last Friday, I shared a little bit about how the Lord's been teaching me the need to have dependence on Him. And this week, just going through having something on my heart and seeking the Lord on it, it's been encouraging to me, especially this morning as I was praying and I was crying out to the Lord and just asking the Lord, Lord, I desire to know Your will in this, what's on my heart. I could just sense my heart soften as I was just realized, like, Lord, without Your direction, I am nothing. I need You to make Yourself clear to me, make Your will known to me. I am nothing without You. And I was reading in Hebrews chapter 3, and it says in there, it talks about the house being built, and it says that, talks about Moses building a house and Jesus building a house. And all I could think was, Lord, how much do I want You to build this house? Like, I am so desperately in need of You to bring a change in my life and to give me direction, and that I would not run ahead of You. You know, I've thought about, what does it look like to, my desire is so much to hear the Lord's voice and to wait on the Lord. And I think probably that was David. It was, had learned, and just think of this guy who's so young, but he comes in from tending the sheep, and what is the a couple observations that are made is, one, he's ruddy in appearance, and two, he has beautiful eyes. And it's just interesting. It's just a guy that I just think his eyes must have been just burning like fire, like it says of Jesus. And I just think, man, I want that. I want to have that. And I think it comes when our heart is totally dependent on the Lord and just trusting in Him. And I think through these tests, and we talked about this last Friday, but what I was just noticing in Romans chapter 8, when our hope is in the Lord, it says in verse 24, it says, "For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Obviously, the Lord allows us to see our weakness. And I have never really, you know, these verses are so well known, but I guess I just had fresh understanding or fresh read through on these this week. And how do we see our weakness? It's like we come to see our dependence on the Lord, but we see our weakness when we're going through trials. And all of a sudden we see that we need Jesus. Like we see our shortcoming, and it's in that place where the Spirit intercedes for us. You know, we're with groanings too deep for words. You know, to come to that place where we're broken. It says that I know David talks of having a broken and a contrite spirit. This the Lord will not despise. After he. David had a revelation. It wasn't about what we can do for the Lord. What it wasn't about the sacrifices that he could bring. I mean, at times they'd bring thousands in the Old Testament. But he had an understanding that it was a broken heart that the Lord desired, and a heart that was just totally dependent on the Lord. That was what he wanted out of the Israelites when he took them through the wilderness. And that's what he found in David. And that's what our brother was sharing about, was he found a heart that was totally dependent on the Lord and totally willing to just do whatever the Lord would ask him to do. And in that place where we are just willing to do whatever, Lord, You show me, what You make Your will clear to me, Lord, and I am willing to do that, even if it's not my will, right? That was what Jesus' heart was, Lord, Your will be done, not mine. If we're in that place, I know that our heart will be soft. Our heart will be soft towards the Lord, and He'll be able to work, you know? Brother Zach shared when he was here, I know on the Friday night he's talked about, I think it was that night that he talked about praying and talked about the first thing in the Lord's Prayer is, "Hallowed be Your name." And for me, that was one thing that I remember from that weekend. And I sometimes pray that it comes to mind, and I just say, "Lord, I want Your name to be glorified through my life." And I think that that happens. That happened with David. I believe that David brought glory to God. Not he made mistakes, but I believe that the Lord loved him because of David's just total dependence on the Lord, and to know that he could do nothing without him. But with him, he could take down Goliath. With him, he could take down a bear and a sheep. He could do so much. Nothing was impossible for David when he was dependent on the Lord. And the same is true for us. That nothing is impossible when we are in that place of dependence on the Lord. But if we're not, that's a scary place to be. Anyway, he says in Romans 8, then 27, he says, "And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And this was the one that really was new to me. Maybe all of you guys will go, "Wow, you're just seeing that now." But I always just read that. He who searches the hearts. Yeah, he searches my heart. Well, I had a revelation. How does he search my heart? It says the furnace is for gold and the crucible for silver. The Lord, he tests the hearts. And he tests the hearts through trials. And I just began to see how this just flows, right? He's showing us our weaknesses. And in showing us our weaknesses, he's searching our hearts. He's making it plain for us where we're at in our walk with him. And it's in that place that we need to be crying out to the Lord. That's where, you know, I want to be. I want to be calling out on the name of the Lord and letting the Spirit intercede with groanings too deep for words, that it would bring a breaking. It would bring a brokenness in my heart to see, just to have the Lord show me where I'm at, and then just to see, be able to turn to him and say, "Lord, you're able. You're able. You're able. I come to you and I acknowledge that I'm weak and I fall short. You've shown me my weakness. You've searched my heart. You've shown me what's in my heart. Even today, searched my heart and he showed me my heart and the pride that's in there. And I just have to come to him and say, "Lord, you're able. I don't want to be like this." You know, I'm in a position now. You know what the Lord too has shown me? I've wondered sometimes, what does it look like to honor your father and mother? And especially when you don't live at home and you're 34 years old. And the Lord has shown me how I can honor my father. And I know it can be a testimony, because now all of a sudden, working with him, he's just shown me how I can honor him. How I can dishonor him too. Fire off an email to others and in it humble my father. I don't want to be like that. And so I just see my heart in so many ways. The Lord is able to show us our heart. David had a heart after God. And that is the Lord's desire for us, is that we would have a heart for him. That we would be totally dependent on him. And, you know, I've always loved verse 28. In my earlier days, Jason and I would talk about this verse. He would start singing, I think, Twilight Paris. Because there was a song, or was it? I don't know who it was. Anyway, but he says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And I just see it, you know, new now. I mean, because he's talking about, this whole passage is talking about trials, and I've never seen it like that before. "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." So just encourage me as we hope in those things that aren't seen, as he takes us through a trial and we see our weakness, we see our heart, that the Lord is mighty to save. And we're just dependent on him. All we got is a sling and a stone. But if the Lord is with us, then he's able to cause us to overcome. He's able to change our hearts and give us the desire of our heart. And I say that, I shared about having a desire to see souls saved. I want to have more of a burden for the lost, more of a burden for my brethren, to see them grow. And just realizing that without Jesus, without the power of his Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And I've just been crying out to the Lord, "Lord, you got to give me the power of your Holy Spirit, that I would have that burden for the lost and have that victory in my life over sin." Because it's the testimony, it's the victory that people see, it's the life that people see. And that only is by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to give us that victory, to give us that testimony and that life, that people would see it, that people would see when we go to work or wherever we are, that people would see the life of Jesus Christ in us. And I need the Holy Spirit to do that in me, to give me that power. And I desire the anointing too, to be able to have the gifting to share or to do whatever the Lord were to gift me with, that I could also build up the brethren. But obviously in that too, our heart needs to be purified, because we can have wrong motives in that. And all of these things he'll do through trials, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I have seen that more real in the last months, and that definitely has been more on my heart as I prayed to the Lord, is that he would give me the power of the Holy Spirit, that I would be a testimony, and that I would have greater victory and a greater burden. All of those things come by his Spirit. There's nothing that we can do. And he shows us our heart. It just is a reminder of how much we need him. But when we have him, as David did, had great victory in Jesus, we too can have greater victory than David did, because we have Jesus Christ. So anyway, some things that the Lord has challenged me with, but encouraged me over the last week as well.